I think that when we talk about nimitta, it's now, see.
Yeah.
Just remember that this is Kun An, Kun Paina, Kun Sa, nimitta. Without the citta, charisika, and rupa, that won't be anything.
No nimitta without citta.
Yeah. That's why in order to understand nimitta, it is this moment. Yeah.
Yes.
There is visible object not known at all. Until Buddha thought about what is there, is only that which can be seen. And the idea of that is nimitta, all day, all life.
So in the texts or suttas, when they talk about attending to the nimitta nanabhyanchana, that's a reference to thinking about what has been experienced?
Just to show the truth in a day, what's going on, each moment, unknown. That actually, realities arise and fall away, unknown. What is left is only the nimitta, as something permanent.
So does the enlightened being attend to the nimitta and anabhyanchana,
the
or just the worldling?
Important thing is understanding only. Even right now, what leads to discussion? Depending on realities, the accumulated realities. But when panya leads, it's different. Just to understand. That is the function of panya. So at any time when panya arises, it depends on what level it has been developed. To the degree that it's now, it leads to understand whisper object or not yet. Or just hear it again and again, consider again and again, until it's just that developed panya which will lead to understand visible object as it is. That's why right understanding is right understanding of whatever appears, no matter when and where. All gone. It's not important as now. That's why Buddha said, do not mind the past and the future. Just whatever appears should be object of understanding from hearing, considering, and knowing that it must be the direct understanding of that he taught for years about seeing and that which is seen. That's all.
Yesterday we were talking about the example of the nimitta nanabhyanchana as the writing on the packet there.
Yes, just to know that what is meant. But
yes.
Actually it's seen. Visible object is seen, nimitta is there, and
yes.
The anupayanchana is there.
Right.
So it depends.
But am I correct in understanding that if there was no attending to the nimitta anupayanchana,
Buddha
there could be...
Buddha didn't tell anyone to do anything, just to hear the truth.
Yeah. I'm trying to understand...
What is the concept
of the nimitta nanabhyanchana?
Yeah, what is there? A box? Shape? Form? Without shape and form, can it be that thing? That's all. Deep down, there are only citta, citta-sikha, and rupas. At moment of seeing, thinking, liking, disliking, keep on going from moment to moment by conditions. That's why actually there's no one at all, at all. Otherwise, when there's just a thing or something, it is object of attachment because of ignorance. But it can be object of right understanding from the words of the Buddha to begin to know what is there. Just very daily life. That's why listen. Until panya develops to the degree that it will lead to understand directly what is now appearing. Because now everything's gone. See? No attention, no words as reminder, not enough understanding. So everything's gone by conditions, from life to life. Each moment is like that, but not known. That's why Buddha thought can be studied at any time. Sound, hearing, seeing, thinking.
So after seeing, there's thinking. After hearing, there's thinking.
Certainly,
all the time.
Certainly.
So, mm-hmm. And thinking is what, for example, identifies or puts meaning to what has been seen.
So many processes.
Right. But it's normal part of the way things are, isn't it? So whether for the worldling or the enlightened being, it's still
exactly
seeing and thinking about what's been seen.
Any moment, anything can be object of every level of understanding. Otherwise, not panya, it's not understanding. Just exactly the same, not understanding.
In a sense, when they talk about attending to nimitta and abhyancha, it's like attending to the difference.
Just tell the truth about whatever appears right then. That there must be visible object. Otherwise, there cannot be any shape and form.
Different visible objects are different from each other.
Certainly, exactly the same like this. This is different from that. This is different from this.
Right. So, that's all it is.
There can also be thinking about seeing, about visible object. Also thinking about thinking, which just makes you think what we saw even yesterday or last year or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And it's really meaningless, I think. When thinking about something which is past and gone and even not paying any attention to what seeing is seeing right now, instead thinking about what seeing saw yesterday or last year or 10 years ago even, or 20 years ago.
But in order to recognize anything, including writing or language, there has to be thinking about what has been marked in the past to some extent. There's no such thing as just thinking about the present.
Yeah, I was thinking about like when thinking about memories in the past which have no relevance to just by memory.
You're saying that such thinking is useless.
Useless, yes.
But it's natural to...
Yes.
What about planning for the future, planning for tomorrow? Thinking of what I have to do today in order to meet the needs of tomorrow.
Can you plan tomorrow?
You can think about it.
Why not? Normal.
Shopping today for eating tomorrow? What's wrong with that?
Okay, true, but...
The matter is planning, it's thinking. You think that it's a plan, but actually it's thinking about that.
Not saying it's going to happen like that, but just because we don't know what's going to happen doesn't mean we don't think about...
So it depends if you have a reason to plan for tomorrow. That's...
What do you mean a reason?
Like if you're planning to go back to Bangkok, you have to make arrangements to go back to Bangkok.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you're thinking about maybe I'm going back to Italy next week, and I start to think now about going back to Italy next week, I will miss all the...
But even when we have a reason to think about the future, it's still going to be attachment and aversion. You're saying just dreaming about the future is useless, right? Which it is. But if you stop the dreaming and just think more about the present, does it mean less attachment?
Yes. No, not necessarily. Can be attachment just to the present object.
In any case, we know most thinking is akusala, but it's conditioned like that anyway. They're just passing dharmas. So it's not a matter of not thinking or trying to have anything different. It's just how it is by conditions anyway. And understanding can come in any time, but they're just dhammas. It's not my thinking, my planning. It's just common, ordinary thinking with ignorance and attachment most of the time. Very natural. Like when having breakfast or getting up or any time at all. Just different dhammas.
And thinking's gone. Where is it now?
See, no matter whatever happens in life, just dhammas rolling on and rising and gone immediately and not worth being concerned about what kind of thinking it was 5 minutes or half an hour ago, because it's all gone anyway. Even, and there'll be much more akusala thinking to come. But they're just dhammas, and as soon as they've arisen, immediately they're in the past anyway.
And tomorrow when you step out of the room, they're thinking, where's it, again and again and again, each moment. If I think about seeing you 20 years ago, I keep the idea of I see or I saw Kun Alberto. And when I look at you now, I think that now I see you. But if I still keep on understanding that it's you, it's clinging to the idea of self, until I know that it's just a moment of experiencing whisper object, and sanya remembers that all. That's why panya can know all realities as not self, just by conditions, each moment. Even thinking about 20 years ago, it's the sanya now which thinks about it, and gone again. This is the only way to really have detachment from taking that which is not permanent as very permanent one. Everything.
Having lots of akusala thinking with occasional moments of understanding of Dhamma is more precious than kusala with no understanding at all. So at least it can be understood as just dhammas, no matter what arises.
And this is a primary understanding in order that panya can develop according to the truth from the very beginning. Nothing, and then something, and then nothing. Until then, you don't know when, but the truth is the truth. And this can be led only by the highly developed right understanding, not that I try to perform the function of understanding. It's wrong. Impossible. It stopped the growth of panya. Until one is freed from cankers, lopa, and avijja, gradually, little by little. And panya knows what level it is, how much or how less, how to keep on being patient with jhana and understand what is there in the Tipitaka, better and better.
Talking about nimitta and the use of nimitta, we know that just before death, the jhavana cittas experience an object through any one of the six doorways conditioned by karma, which will produce the patisandhi citta in the next life.
Say it again, please.
The last jhavana cittas, kusala or akusala cittas before death, can experience an object through any
six doorways,
through any doorway, as conditioned by past karma, and that karma will bring the result by way of patisandhi in the next life about to come. And we know the object of those kusala, kusala cittas actually is just like now, but when it's referring to the those last jhavana cittas in the text, they mention that the object is kama nimitta or gati nimitta. Actually, it's like now, but given special names when it's the last jhavana citta. I just want to check the meaning of kama, kama nimitta, and gati nimitta. I mean, I know it's very ordinary, like now. Kama is referring in that context to kusala or akusala as the object, is that right? Like lobha, dosa, anything? Or when kama, for example, the first one is the object of those last jhavana cittas, what is referred to? Because kama is chetana, but what is meant by karma as the object of those last jhavana
cittas?
Karma, karma nimitta, and gati nimitta. So I just want to go through them one by one. Yes.
What kind of objects then?
Now.
Yes.
Like now, it can be sense object.
Okay.
Like, yep.
That's conditioned by karma for seeing to see.
Right. Okay.
Right?
So that
and
is karma.
And then, when at time of death, it's exactly the same.
Like now.
One karma, we don't know which one. Conditioned seeing of that particular object.
Right. Okay. But we're talking.
That is karma.
Karma. But we're talking about the object of jhavana. So when it says it's karma, so does it mean the object is seeing or visible object?
Anything. Depending on karma, which can produce reserve or rebirth consciousness.
So any
sound
or seeing, any nama or rupa which is conditioned by karma. So this is what is meant by karma. Okay.
And the object is just like now.
Right. So it could be seeing through the mind door,
sound,
or sense object through sense doorway. Okay. So that's the first one. And then karma nimitta, it's like we said, it's like the sign of karma. So it's not the actual sense object or the actual seeing or hearing, but it's like we've been talking about the same, just the
like
sign.
Like we're thinking about walking on the street.
Yes.
Seeing what?
Yeah.
Yeah. So just one object.
So this is more like the dream nimitta, the what is thought about the nimitta,
and
what is
when
what
it's karma nimitta, it is that which has been done.
That
like giving, presenting the robe to the monk, or flowers, and like that.
So it's what is thought about, it's the idea of what has been
the
done.
The past karma, which will condition the next life.
Yeah. The idea of the karma that will condition the next life.
And the object of the idea.
Okay. But it can only be one at a time.
Right.
It can either
depending.
Be the object or the deed. It can't be both.
Just
both
a sign that sign one has once did it.
Okay. And then the third one, the gati nimitta, what has been done before. So
it's just the plan that one will be born.
Oh, the plan,
gati nimitta.
All right.
I'm sorry,
the plane.
The plane.
If one sees the fire in hell.
Like we usually say, okay, it's just the objects like now, but just given special names then. But like now, there's no gati, no sense of next.
Since it's not the object of patisanti, it is not the kamma or kamma nimitta and kati nimitta. That's all.
Yeah.
It's just ordinary.
Yeah. But for example, if there's thought about fire now, then we can't say this is
before death only.
So it is a little special.
For that one.
So it can be this moment. Who knows what object would be.
Totally like now, whether it's seeing or hearing or thinking, totally unexpected. And
very, very natural. The way Dharma is. The way Dharma is so natural. No one at all.
And the more understanding about how natural Dharmas are rolling on by conditions now, then it's clear that's how it had to be from the very start of this life to the end of this life, on and on and on, because actually no matter what we call it, it's just different cittas, cetasikas and rupas arising by conditions and following on one after the other. Yeah.
I was just thinking and wondering, and I think I know the answer to this, whether the gamanimitta, what's the second one? The
first one is kama, and the second is kama nimitta,
and the third is gati nimitta. I was wondering if these can be known, if there is a moment.
Not now,
for sure. Mm-hmm. But
even at that moment of experiences,
can
it be known? Like just right now, it's not known. Citta experiences all the time, not
yes.
known. That's so, what it experiences now.
Not now, it can't be known, but if at that moment.
No matter what moment,
it
exactly the
known.
Same. Suppose that there's consciousness follow. See? Not known.
Not known, right. That's what I was thinking. There's not enough. Because it's the last, it's not going to be known.
Like now.
Yeah.
If death comes, that moment, this is not known.
Right. Okay.
It's not known because it's the last. It's not known, like seeing is not known now because of so much ignorance.
That's right. Well,
yeah.
That's what I mean.
So it's just the same. But it doesn't make any difference if it's the last. It's just like now because usually panya doesn't arise now. What is seen or what is experienced is unknown because of ignorance.
That's,
so
yes.
This is death now. It's just like now.
Yes, but if there weren't ignorance, if there were panya at that time, could it be known? Would panya know?
Panya understands at that moment before death.
Like now.
I understand. That's what
just
I'm
like
looking
now.
For. Yeah. Okay. So it depends entirely on whether panya, the level of panya that arises at the time.
Or is it I who know?
Yes. Yeah. Or awija. Yeah.
And would one like to have understanding at that time, or it's just clinging and
it's clinging. I was
going to
say, no way.
Again.
If one's looking for, if one wants, no, it won't happen.
That's why I leave it to karma.
Yes. No, I was just wondering if panya, if there were sufficient panya, could it arise then and know it? Yes, could panya arise? And the answer is yes.
Okay. Just like in the Java and the cheetahs now, just.
Otherwise, there cannot be patisanti citta with panya, if panya cannot arise at that moment.
Okay. So, if I'm remembering correctly, patisanti citta can be with, sometimes is it roots that they call it? Three roots.
Why do they call it three roots?
Why do they call it that? I'm just going to make a guess here, but because everything that follows.
So what
because
are the
it
roots?
Means the awicca, no, my chai.
What are the roots?
Okay, I'm not remembering. I just remember three roots, but I thought one of them was panya, alopa, and adosa.
Wholesome roots.
Wholesome roots.
And unwholesome roots. Three unwholesome roots as well.
Both, eh? Or
avicca.
Either or. Pardon?
Either.
Not both. So either
lopa.
Panya or avicca, lopa or alopa. Alopa or lopa.
They cannot arise together.
No, but either or. No, not either. Or, one or the other. Panya and avicca would not arise together. Lopa and alopa would not arise together. Dosa and adosa would not arise
so
together.
So can moha arise with lopa and dosa before death?
Yes.
As the condition for akusala vipaka
yes.
to be patisanti citta.
Yes. And birth in this plane
Human being plane?
Yes. Can be with either...
What citta arises before Patisamthi citta of this plane?
Jyoti citta.
Before that?
Javana citta.
What type, what kind?
For this plane?
To be human being best.
That's what I'm thinking. Panya? Or can birth in this plane be with moha? That's what I'm thinking, panya.
Some people do not have panya.
So panya or moha then?
Kusala. It can't be moha because it, for rebirth in the human realm, it's kusala vipaka,
okay.
So it has kusala to be vipaka. Kusala, but not necessarily panya.
Okay.
Because the roots can be two or three.
Mm.
So panya is only when there are three roots.
Yes. Otherwise, it would be... well, I'm not sure. Alopa and adosa?
Yeah, like normal kusala.
Anything kusala. No, that was wrong.
Or none. Yeah.
Or none.
If handicapped.
Okay. It doesn't seem to quite follow. For example, if you said that there is only patisandhi with three roots, including panya, if panya arises in the last javana cittas, which of course would be extremely rare, that it seems, and for example, like rebirth in human realm can be with no roots, so it's not as though the last javana cittas could arise with no roots. So
there must be a There must be kusala citta.
Yeah. So
to be born in the human realm.
Exactly. So even though the kusala citta, there can be rebirth with no roots. So is it not possible for the kusala citta with the last javana citta must have panya for rebirth with panya as one of the roots?
We have to talk about the 19 types of patisandhi citta,
yes,
so that it would be clear.
Is it true, Ajahn, that in the Tathu Maharajika, Vayuloka, you can have no roots? Is that possible? And with that,
you mean to be born as handicap?
To be born in the Chaturmaharajika, the lowest of the Devaloka.
And human being.
And
too.
Yes.
Yes.
And just before we go on to consider the different types of patisandhi citta, I seem to remember that the jittas of the last javana process are conditioned by kamma.
Right.
So
one kamma, weak or strong, kusala.
Hmm. So the question of panya arising, is that dependent on the kamma that conditions?
Right. To condition the panya with jitta before death.
So it's not so much a question of how much panya has been accumulated in that lifetime. It's more to do with the
kamma.
Kamma that's conditioning.
Like the kamma of bodhisattva before becoming enlightened in that life. Siddhartha.
So the 19 types of patisandhi citta.
Okay.
I'm waiting to hear.
Oh, vipaka.
Yes.
How many akusala vipaka, which can be patisandhi citta, can condition patisandhi citta? Akusala vipaka,
mm-hmm.
Only one, santirana. Upeka can be patisandhi citta.
Okay.
Not in human being realm.
Not in human being realm.
Hell.
Or rebirth in woeful planes.
Okay.
Animal hell realms or woeful planes.
Santirana and Upeka.
Akusala vipaka.
Because it's akusala vipaka.
Oh, okay.
Result of akusala kamma. And
it
has
upeka,
yeah. How can it be so manasa? It's the result of akusala kamma.
I may, perhaps I'm misunderstanding upeka.
neutral feeling.
Neutral, okay, yes. I see. Equanimity.
Nothing to do with equanimity, it's neutral. Because feeling can be pleasant, unpleasant,
right, yes,
or neutral.
I'm
and Santirana can arise with pleasant feeling or neutral feeling.
Wholesome middle factor.
That's what I thought, metta, mudita,
neutral feeling is a feeling.
And it's called upekkha as well. Okay.
Upekkha vedana.
Okay. Upekkha vedana.
Vedana is feeling. There are five kinds of feelings.
Yes.
So no matter to be born an ant, an elephant, the bodhisattva citta must be only one.
Okay.
The upekkha santirana akusala vipaka. So how many akusala vipakas are there in all?
I think I just heard you say 10, but I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Seven akusala vipaka,
okay.
But one akusala patisandhi, because it's always with upekkha and santirana.
Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, five.
Yes.
And then sampatichanna, akusala vipaka, and santirana, akusala vipaka, only seven.
Okay.
Not more than this at all.
I see.
No matter how kama is so bad. Only seven akusala vipaka.
But if it's kusala, can be extra because santirana can be pleasant, with pleasant feeling.
Okay.
But akusala vipaka cannot be with
pleasant feeling. That's right.
When we talk just about the result which has hetu with it.
Mm-hmm.
But with hetu there are more for kusala vipaka, but not for akusala vipaka.
Okay. And there can be rebirth without hetu as well. Is that what I'm hearing? No roots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because of the very weak kusala vipaka, but for akusala vipaka, no root.
Okay.
Just fall down. By the heavy akusala kama, no need to have any hetu.
Right. Don't get old.
Pre asurikai.
Okay, and for the kusala.
So how many akusala vipaka can be known?
Five. And for the kusala vipaka, the rebirth as a result of kusala.
We have to divide the result into with root and without root.
Okay.
Yeah. Without root, it kusala vipaka, like seeing, no need to have the root with it.
Mm, true. Seeing doesn't need a root. Thinking?
It's exactly the same as the akusala ones. So the five, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and the sampatichana and the
santirana,
but two kinds, neutral feeling.
And pleasant feeling. Okay. And this is without root. With root?
This is more to be born with panya, as root.
Yes, okay. Mm.
The eighth so far without.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Actually, just a question to come in. It just reminds me that just as Tadao was leaving us in Vietnam, he asked a question, and I said I would bring it up, and it was related to the Patisandhi and Bawanga cheetahs and the importance of pleasant feeling and whether that affected the Bawanga cheetahs or what. I'm not sure exactly the details, but I think the point is that it has to be kusala vipaka and it can be with or without roots. But I think he thought that perhaps it was the feeling that influenced the vipaka or something. I'm not sure.
Vipaka doesn't play big role at all in life, except seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching.
That's all, yes. And other Vipaka cheetahs, like Bawanga cheetahs, which may have many more wholesome factors and pleasant feeling and beautiful factors arising, is still, they're just result cheetahs. Anyway, this is a slight diversion. This question, I think, was whether it has any effect during life, the pleasant feeling arising with the Bawanga cheetahs and the other wholesome factors, because they are just result.
It just represents the cause, whether it's accompanied by upekkha or pleasant.
That's all.
Like the Patisanthicitta of the Bodhisattva, the Prinsittata, the highest one, with Somanasa.
Sure. And otherwise unknown.
When Panya is accompanied by Somanasa, it's better than with upekkha.
You once made a comment about how, for example, we can see some people always generally very happy or smile a lot, or maybe it's an indication of Bawanga with Somanasa, but actually it's just speculation, I think.
I think that the best thing is to have Fred and Sandy. Yeah.
So where are we here? We have Kusala Vipaka that we're talking about, right?
Yep, we've discussed without roots.
And with roots? Yeah, well.
Patisanthicitta.
Patisanthicitta with roots.
The result of Kusala Kamma.
Yeah.
With two or three roots, because it's the result of Kusala. Mm-hmm. It has to be aloba or adosa jitasika. And when it's the result of Kamma, like now understanding, there can be panya. Yes, with aloba and adosa. Mm-hmm. Amoha is called.
Yes.
Aloba, adosa, amoha.
Amoha.
That's as the foundation for whatever happens in one's life, depending on what comes. For example, there can be people who were born with the three roots, no opportunity to hear the teachings at all. So it's useless until it can be conditioned to hear, then that right understanding, which is rooted with Patisanthicitta, can develop.
It's possible, I imagine, that people with three roots can still have much wrong view.
Devadatta. As long as it hasn't been eradicated yet, it's deeply rooted, ready to come out by conditions at the right time.
Where there were three roots, amoha included, and ditti had not been eradicated, then there could be self-view ditti.
Like before enlightenment, even Buddha himself.
Okay, I was going to ask something that I now know the answer to. And it would depend on conditions as to whether there was hearing the Dhamma in that life, and then depend on accumulations and conditions as to whether there was eradication of
Dhamma. That's right, there are four factors to develop understanding.
Like the Bodhisattva, as was it as Jyotipala, following wrong practices until because of the family environment he was in. So that's why many factors involved. In the case of the Buddha just before enlightenment, like before we've discussed that even when following ascetic practices and so on, that actually I thought we discussed before that it's not ditti at those.
It's a result of previous karma.
Result of previous karma, yes. but not ditti arising. So when you just said wrong view just before enlightenment.
Latent tendency.
Oh, the tendency, latent tendency, but not arising.
Because the latent tendency is there until it's eradicated.
Very, very difficult.
Diversion. Sundra, Alberta and I were having a discussion the other evening about why the Buddha experienced more pain or discomfort as a result of karma in that period before becoming enlightened. Was it compared to other Buddhas?
It then, immediately, a moment ago, that was to do with past karma.
It was to do with past karma, but your point was that it was more than other Buddhas, or what was the point?
No, that was not my point. What was
the point being made?
Oh, it was to do with past karma.
No need to compare.
No, I thought that's what I think, because it's one cannot
different
see
lives.
The reason. Cannot, like the pain the Buddha experienced in his last life, one can't say that it's more pain because it's the Buddha, or this is just because of karma, that's all. One, it's not any other reason.
What about before his death? See?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Or why does a jhana live to 90-something and he to less? Like sometimes people say, oh, it's because of your wisdom. I say, well, what about the Buddha? It depends on karma, not right. on other yeah. factors. So otherwise we get completely the wrong idea.
Just one's own idea all the time.
And the Buddha could have lived much longer, but he chose not. He chose not to.
What? Sorry, can you explain?
Well, he mentioned to Ananda once that beings like him can live much longer, to 100. But Ananda did not take that up. And latterly, when Ananda realized what the Buddha had said, he asked him, please stay longer. The Buddha did not change.
But I don't think 200.
No, I said 100, Ajahn.
100.
Okay, I'm going to need some help understanding this. The jutti citta, the vipaka, is a vipaka citta, correct? As a result of karma. When you say choose, I guess my mind immediately went to the conventional meaning of choose. But it would have to be as a result of karma, over which he had, by conditions, over which there was no self. There never is any control, right?
Not only result of karma, other factors too.
Other supporting conditions.
Other supporting conditions.
So it's not choosing, the death is the result of karma, but other supporting conditions, for example, like hitting one's head on the ground. So that even is a result of karma, but many other factors.
Well, can you think of some examples of other factors?
Like citta, for example. Factor. The way of thinking at the time may be conditioned for karma to bring its result sooner or later, or other influences, but anyway, other supporting conditions, supporting karmas.
Never choosing.
No, it's just a way of speaking, just referring to other conditions.
Other conditions, okay.
I didn't catch every word of what Sundara said, but the invitation or request could be a condition for time of death to be later than otherwise. Not by any exercise of will on the part of the...
Nutriment taken or many, many other factors, but still karma is the cause of death. In the case of someone who's dying, if there's some force feeding or artificial respiratory things, many, many other factors, interventions. But whenever death comes, karma is the cause. Yeah.
And I think likewise it's said that death can come earlier too if there's some intervening karma arising. So although the karma that conditions rebirth could support a lifespan of, say, 80 years, there could be some intervening karma arising which shortened that time.
different types that are enumerated of kamma. One of them is called upaghataka kamma, which means that Jonathan is referring to there that there may be, say, the janaka kamma or the reproductive kamma might be conditions for a long life, but the person may be very unwise and very foolish and therefore precipitate an early death for different reasons.
I also think that in the case of the Buddha, it's a special case which applies only to Buddhas and not to anyone else.
Alberto's made a really good point there. When you're talking about Samma Sambuddho, it's just, yeah, they're very, very extraordinary, special people, and they are well outside the normal patujana. You know, yeah, it's unimaginable.
And there's no way of knowing whether the kamma resulting in death is an intervening kamma or not.
For example, if someone is shot dead when they're young or something okay. like this, then it's not the natural course of life. And there's the touching of hardness when shot by the
yes.
gun, so that karma at that moment. So this
okay,
is an example. So many factors. And even though this the Buddha's case is special, but even in amongst ordinary people, like when there is encouragement from family and friends or what have you, it can have effect, and just like nutriment and many other influences.
Mm-hmm. So when we say the natural, I can't remember how you said it, Sarah, but my understanding was the natural course of life until Chuti-chitta. I'm not even sure this bears thinking about, but we you know, the giving of medication, I guess, could be, we call it an intervention, the nutriment, etc. But there really is no way of knowing at all.
No.
But your example about the child being shot, but still there's really no way of knowing.
Many people may be shot and one may live, or like
right.
an area may be bombed, and it depends on karma,
which ones
survive,
live, which ones don't.
So many,
right.
many factors. That's right. why karma is so complicated and intricate. All one
yeah.
knows is that death is a result of karma, but many different karmas
yeah.
bringing results during life, and many factors yeah. that have effect.
You were looking at me at one point, and I think I meant, but what I was referring back to the, someone mentioned intervening gamma, like mm-hmm. natural course. Yes. So there is no way of knowing then. Not
what?
Whether the well, not. I should say, I don't think this conversation is going anywhere useful.
Another example would be if a person was to commit suicide, jump off a tall building, then their lifespan comes to an end at that point. So there must be some intervening gamma happening. We don't know what it is.
Curious about that. People who suicide, can we always say that there will be some intervening gamma that's playing a role there? Must be, I guess.
We don't know anything about gamma at all. Just as for many kinds of karma.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm, no.
We know there are many, many conditions, so the cheetahs and the karma at that time taking the action, which may or may not result in death, so many factors involved. One person jumping off the bridge may survive and another, so many, many factors involved.
Still collected at the Patisandhi time as Ayuhana, because it would still be karma done in the previous life. Whatever intervening karma we are talking about would still be in Ayuhana at the moment of Patisandhi, because we are talking about past karma anyway, and before before birth.
So any of those karmas from any, from that or previous lives or any life that can bring results in that life at Patisandhi is the Ayuhana, yeah? So whichever karmas it is, maybe that or another karma or who knows, any karma that can bring results.
I'm thinking back to the discussions last Friday at Kunmal Wipakon's home and on Sunday morning at the foundation, where you and the other Ajahns spent a good amount of time talking about the development of Panya and the distinction between thinking at the Pariyatti level and actually understanding clearly the characteristic of the presently arising Dhamma. And I think many people found that very useful. And I'm wondering if you can talk about that again.
Otherwise, some people might take it for vipassana or enlightenment. Just hearing the
exactly.
teachings, they might say, I know already.
Right. Right. And you and the other Ajahns spoke to them about the difference.
Comparing just one word that Buddha said, Dhamma. And the other people say, Dhamma.
Mm-hmm.
Great distance between his wisdom. And
yes.
the others.
Yes.
It can
That's
be Pariyatti,
right.
Patipatti, and Pativeda, even in that short word.
Even in that?
Short, very short word.
Yes, yes. And many, and
like all dhammas are anatta.
Yeah.
Covers everything.
Right. And one can think that at an intellectual level.
And two, it's very firmly established.
Firmly established and clear.
Mm-hmm.
Clear.
Its level as Pariyatti, no doubt about it anymore.
Right.
It has to be now, and it has to be led by understanding,
mm-hmm.
not by the self trying to perform the function of Panya.
Mm-hmm. And then on to the next level,
Patipatti. That moment, no doubt about Satipatthana, different from Sati at moment of hearing and understanding at level of Pariyatti.
Yes.
Because it has its different characteristic, which is not just understanding intellectually. And before, Panya knows that it's now leading to not self, not I, but right understanding itself is leading to more and more understanding that which aware of.
Yeah, but we listened to it again last night, and you found parts of it very interesting too, or very useful.
Ajahn Mecha explained that when one said, "Panya understand clearly, clearly understand," it must be the Panya at the level of Vipassanayana.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but now it's everything is mixed up together.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Even when it's Panya at the level of Satipatthana, understanding directly namas and rupas, but not yet the level of vipassana jnana, it cannot be said that it's clear. And after those moments of understanding,
the object begins to appear well.
Begins to appear well. Because sometimes people ask when it's said that the distinction between nama and rupas is only known at vipassana jnana, but actually before that, at moments of satipatthana, namas and rupas have to be understood and have to begin to be understood well and have to be known. Otherwise, it cannot be vipassana jnana. So satipatthana has to develop, has to know different realities, has to begin to understand them well. So this is the difference between well and clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to be known well. It has to be very clear and firm. What is nama? What is rupa? They have to be known directly. But it's not yet the vipassana jnana, where it's so clear, one after the other.
And we can see even the difference between prayati and patipatti. For example, does now hardness appear well? Not at all.
No.
So one knows that hardness is not self. It's that which is conditioned to rest, to be just hard.
Mm-hmm.
But it does not appear as hardness well enough.
Right.
Just pass on and on.
Why there can be doubt in between, or not wondering or asking, is it this hardness or is this nibbita or this, that and the other, because it's not appearing well.
And it must be understanding only which can understand the difference between well and not well.
Yes. And then later on...
Otherwise well, it cannot be begun.
Yeah. And then as Banya develops, that understand the difference between well and clear.
Clearer and clearer.
Clearer and clearer, yeah. Until it's clear.
So it knows a different degree, level of understanding.
Yeah.
The Banya is step by step. When mm-hmm. the Pariyatti is firm enough, will lead to Satipatthana.
Yes.
And when Satipatthana is firm enough, will lead to the Vipassanayana.
Actually, it doesn't matter what the terms or the names or the labels are, like those in the Buddha's time who attained the vipassana jnanas and became enlightened. They didn't know about the different stages of vipassana jnana, about the terms or the words. So it's about the development of understanding, no matter what it's called.
Well, I think so too. And it's also about there being sufficient understanding to know what is not well and what is not clear, so that it's not mistaken that, for instance, if there is enlightenment,
yeah,
if there's firm intellectual understanding, not the same thing.
If there's not enough intellectual understanding at all, how can there be the understanding of the difference between well and not well?
Well, there can't
it
be.
Seems well,
yeah.
I hear.
It's well
I
enough.
See. Yeah.
Yeah, no, there can't be.
And if there's doubt or confusion or wondering, for sure it's not well.
Exactly.
Can't be firm.
Yes, because there'd be no doubt at that point.
And how well, and how much well, and how many wells?
Well and weller.
Just very short well. It's not
right.
Enough.
No.
But it's different.
It's different, and...
So it brings about more understanding,
yes,
so that one knows,
yes,
when it's well and when it's not well. Very natural.
Actually, you can say the development of understanding is really the development of understanding of how much ignorance is there.
Yes.
So without considering and understanding more and more well, impossible to know how little is understood and how much ignorance is there. So in the beginning people come and they think they understand the rising and falling away of realities, and they have experienced this and that, or they've attained vipassana jnanas, whatever. But by understanding more and more precisely, then it becomes clearer how much ignorance is really there.
That's right. The more understanding, the more understanding of how much ignorance and how deep and complicated it all is.
And how great Buddha's wisdom is there.
Yes.
Of each reality.
Okay, this is for Alberto, but not yet to your points. But you brought up about Ayuhana. And we had some discussion on our list and looking at different references of it. And the last one is, like you explain, Buddha Gosa explains that accumulation, ayuhana, is the karma that is the cause of future rebirth linking. And so all karma that's been accumulated that produces rebirth, patisandhi and following vipaka, is ayuhana. And it's another one is rebirth linking patisandhi. is tiyatim upati, is future appearance. But in some of the other contexts, it says, it sometimes has an ayuham, the opposite of ayuhana. For example, after a long time at last I see a Brahmin who is fully quenched, who by not halting, not straining, an ayuham, has crossed over attachment to the world. So an ayuham, not the opposite of ayuhana, has crossed over attachment to the world. I think it just means no more birth, so no more ayuhana that can bring results in that
lifetime. Can we say that ayuhana is the collection of karma?
Collection of karma. So an ayuham is the no more collection of karma. But I'm just wondering why it talks about, in this context, non-halting, non-straining, an ayuham has crossed over attachment to the world.
No more conditions.
No more conditions for it. Okay. And from the Visuddhimagga, he contemplates a suffering, arising, occurrence, and the sign, accumulation, ayuhanam, rebirth, linking, and this, his knowledge, is of danger. He contemplates as bliss, no arising, and no occurrence, and no sign, no accumulation, no ayuhana, no rebirth linking, and this is his knowledge of peace. So actually it's the same meaning, no ayuhana, no rebirth linking. So this is still the same meaning. When one reads it, it seems like it's a little bit different, but when one considers, it's actually all about the ayuhana at birth.
When we know the absolute reality of it, as karma or what?
Anything else on ayuhana, Alberto?
The word?
It's a very difficult subject, and so different from conventional thinking. So, but little by little, we can understand.
It's just like learning the details of each reality, which arises and falls away numerously. Cannot be known, all of them. Just some can be known, because they're so very, very several. Uncountable moments in samsara.
To bring up your jhana pachya, Alberto, do you want to raise it? Because we may need to come back again, so it's good to start. We may need two goes.
Yeah, about jhana pachya and vedana being jhana pachya. Not only somanasa, not only upekkha, but also Tumanasa being jhana pachaya.
It burns. That's the meaning of jhana, that which burns.
It also means that being focusing on it, on the object of unpleasant feeling.
It's just the characteristic of the reality which can burn.
Meaning
jhana.
Yeah, burning the object, burning...
whatever.
So when it's domanasa, when it's unpleasant feeling, it burns pleasant feeling, or burns pleasant feeling.
What is jhana pachya?
It conditions the other chitasikas and citta. The pachya conditions citta and chitasikas.
But just the word jhana, what does it mean?
Jhana, the burn, yeah.
Yeah, that's all. Whatever burns.
Burning, yeah. Burning in what sense? I'm not burning like setting fire on it, in that sense?
Destroying. So when it's domanasa, unpleasant feeling, it destroys pleasant feeling. It burns, it kills off pleasant feeling. When it's pleasant feeling, it destroys or burns unpleasant feeling.
I don't know the details of jhana pachya, but I know it doesn't mean condition for jhana. in the sense we think of jhana. It's not, well, that kind of condition.
Yeah, it can be also mitcha samadhi and mitcha, not necessarily, it can be akusala jhana.
It can be either kusala or akusala, that's all. Just by the opposite reality.
But there is the absorption into the object, even if it's a kusala.
It depends on, at that very moment, what is there. For example, today everything is very pleasant, attachment all there. Nothing is burnt. But the vitaka of the truth can burn the situation, pleasant situation from morning up to now, or with right vitaka is now burning the wrong vitaka. Because there must be vitaka after the moment of seeing, hearing, until it's completely burnt, all akusala. Without vitaka, can there be such kind of burning? If you don't talk about panya, because according to the eight Four paths, the two are part of panya. Panya and vitaka. Samma sangappa and sammaditi. They go together.
I checked in the text, it does mention it as the rudder steering in the right or the wrong way for vitaka.
It can be kusala vitaka or
akusala vitaka. So steer rightly or wrongly. Burning rightly or wrongly.
But what is doing the steering?
Panya?
Panya can't arise without vitaka. That's why vitaka is said to be the foot of the world, or like a rudder.
That's what we talked steering. About yesterday. Yes.
The essential support. And that's what John's saying now, even if we don't mention panya, vitaka can be right or wrong. Actually, vitaka arises every moment after seeing, hearing, and so on.
So is it that right vitaka burns wrong vitaka because wrong vitaka cannot arise with right vitaka?
Okay. When it's wrong vitaka, it burns right vitaka at that time. And when we're talking about vitaka as a jhana factor, so even at the other vipaka moments after seeing and hearing, vitaka arises, but as a jhana factor, are we just talking about it, the kusala and akusala vitaka, not the
it
other?
It burns nivarana dhamma, the
yes.
five.
But we're not referring to moments when vitaka arises as vipaka after seeing or hearing, only when it's kusala or akusala that it's burning. As jhana pachya, as jhana condition. Once I heard you mention vitaka is jhana pachya whenever it arises, but actually, to be precise, whenever it arises as kusala.
And
it kusala.
Says at moment of birth, does it arise?
Yes.
And so on.
Yeah.
In detail.
Moment of birth, it can't.
There can be jhana pachya at birth, but not makkha pachya, something like that.
So even when it arises with vipaka citta, like at patisandhi or even at sampaticca and santirana, still it is burning at those moments.
Because it doesn't mean always burn.
No.
But it can perform other functions.
Yeah.
Right?
It's still pachya.
Yeah, it depends on the moment. Yeah.
Tadajan, you said then that there can be jhana pachya at birth. Well, can you help? Can you speak a little more about that?
About?
You said at the moment of birth. This is what I heard.
Is there jhana pachya?
Maybe.
Is there makkha pachya?
No.
See? We have to study just the moment, even its moment with vitaka, but at what moment?
Uh-huh.
So at that moment of birth, vitaka is there, and it is conditioning the other factors by way of jhana pachya, but it's not burning at that moment, but it's still jhana pachya. It only burns when it's kusala or akusala. But jhana pachya is very wide pachya. Mm. Anything more on jhana pachya, Alberto, and on the feelings?
Anything else? Why are you interested in Chalapachiya?
I was thinking like when, it happens to me, I don't know, when about having, being sad or being having regret, and Tomanasa and being sort of like absorbed in it and spend the whole day maybe. Maybe no.
What about Aramanapachiya right now?
The concept, Panyati.
Aramanapachiya. All dhammas can be Aramanapachiya, even Ibbana and Panyati.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's not here. Without it, there's no world appearing.
No thought about jhana pachya without aramana pachya. So the answer to why you're thinking about jhana pachya, it can be aramana pachya.
Yeah, what I was thinking about concentrating on the object. Like in jhana, you have the same object over and over again, like the samatha in kasina or samatha bhavana is the same object over and over again.
Thinking about that which hasn't happened yet.
Is that jhana pachya?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now?
And now.
Is that jhana pachya?
Yes, must be. Oh, I don't know.
Whenever vitakka arises, nothing can be jhana pachya. Only vitakka which arises is pachya. Jhana pachya. To see that actually there's no self, no matter when. And see the difference between moment of seeing and the next moment. Just quite different. Even they are vipaka, but they perform different functions because of different chetasikas. No need for vitaka to arise with seeing at all. But from that moment on, it needs a characteristic which touch vitaka.
Jhana factor.
And when it touches on and on and on, it can be jhana. But just moment of touching, when it's vipaka, it's there. But it cannot change its characteristic as being jhana pachya, but not at that time. But we cannot say that there's no jhana pachya, it's there. But it hasn't performed the fully function yet. So just learn to understand no self. That's the point. At any moment. Otherwise the attachment, curiosity will drag one away, led by those reality. Not yes. Mm-hmm. That's why even at the time of the Buddha, people listen in order to understand whatever appears as not self. Like seeing now. It's that which sees, that's all. Just a moment. Only a moment in a process which sees. But the following citta's condition, many story about the world and things, covered up the truth that see is gone. Just see.
When we say that any moment when vitakka arises, even with vipaka cittas, it is jhana pachya, but it's not the vitakka that has been developed leading to jhana. So obviously in the case of vichara, just the same. And can one say whenever piti arises, it is jhana pachya in the same way?
thinking along, on, but not understanding, that which appears.
So when PT arises, for example, it arises so often in a day, and obviously it's not the PT that leads to jhana, but still it has its influence, so as jhana
it can be. Jhana pachaya.
It can be. And any somanasa or domanasa can be jhana pachaya.
Right.
Any indifferent feeling. And when it comes to samadhi, because actually it's ekagata chetasika, are we saying whenever any ekagata chetasika arises, even with vipaka chetas, it can be jhana pachaya? So even though it's using the word samadhi, which is usually a particular context, but actually any ekagata can be jhana pachaya.
Otherwise, what reality can be.
Yeah. So even at moments of seeing or hearing can be jhana pachaya, because the ekagata is there.
Not necessary, because it's only vipaka.
Yeah. Well, that's otherwise why I thought about vitaka too, when it's only
vipaka. When we talk about vitaka, we just talk about jetasika.
Yes.
Which has its characteristic different from the others.
That's why I thought that it really only referred to when they are kusala or akusala, but that's why when you said even at patisandhi, it is jhana pachaya, so I wondered for the others, like
ekagata
also can be even at patisandhi.
We cannot understand the pachaya of each moment at all. Just leading to understanding this moment is the most important thing.
Sarah, you mentioned jhana pachaya with samadhi, ekakata citta, ekakata jetasika, yes. If not with the vijnana citta, with other cittas, like for instance the javana cittas, the ekakata citta, if it's jhana pachaya, what is burned?
Like when we're talking about vitaka, one can say that when it touches in a kusala way, at that moment akusala is burned, and when akusala touches in a kusala way, and the same with ekagata, when it focuses in a kusala way, akusala is burned. But if we're talking about the vitaka that arises at the moment of, we have to consider carefully, because if we're talking about the vitaka that arises at the moment of patisandhi, it can be this pachaya, but it's not burning at that moment. So the same would apply to ekagata. If it's arising at that moment, it is arising at that moment, because it arises at every moment, but it's not burning at that moment.
A patisandhi. And why is that?
Because it's result.
Oh, because it's result. Okay, thank you. And it, just as it doesn't burn at the moment of
because
at seeing, hearing.
Yeah, at the moment of result, it's just the it's just result. It's not doing anything.
I see. Thank you.
Sitting and meditating, is there jhana pachaya when following the breath?
What are they? No one, but what are they at the dream moment?
Yeah, vitaka and the kaga.
No understanding.
No.
When you mentioned about sitting and meditating and breath and jhana pachaya, what's in your mind? What are you thinking about?
What I was thinking about? That's not easy to say. Not easy to tell what I'm thinking. Anyway, just the following train of thoughts, like jhana pachaya, meditating, breath, following the breath, akusala, micchā samādhi, all that sort of
thing. And what's the point?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Thinking along, or what?
Yeah.
So it's not understanding.
No.
It's a self.
It's a self.
Thinking. opposite of the words of the Buddha, or dhammas, everything, are anatta, non-self. The truth is hidden for how long? More than eons and eons, covered up. That's why after hearing the truth of the words of the Buddha, those who understood said, it's just like open up that which is closed, turn up that which is turned down. It's light in darkness and show the way to those who are lost in the jungle or whatever, in samsara. Just one word, no self. It's just not for reciting, thinking, trying, but to understand what is a self. Whatever appears is conditioned. And he explained the details for everyone to consider. How can it not be taken for self at all? Even the eye base is conditioned by karma. Even its rupa is different from other rupas because it has the special quality to be on that which object can impinge in order to have seeing to arise and to see it. But it has no intention at all. Rupa doesn't have any intention. It's just variety of that which cannot understand. Whatever appears just arises by conditions, by karma, by citta, by utu, or by ahara, with space in between, each tiny skalapa, tiny group, arising and falling all the time. Can that be directly experienced? Sammasnayana. If it cannot be object of understanding, wouldn't teach at all. But since it can be object of right understanding, to learn from the very beginning that it's just a moment of seeing, thinking about that, a single moment in a process which sees the world appear with stories by citta and cetasikas. So panya can follow, can understand whatever appears, like hearing a sound. It appears well only to panya, that it's not anything at all, just sound which is heard or which is there. Appears and disappears. So true. Is this meditation? No. So one has to understand what meditation is.
When you mentioned about sitting in meditation, what realities did you have in mind? What realities are you thinking of?
I wasn't particularly thinking about any reality, just as a general situation which which we know it's so common, and for many of us it's been so common in the past and is still lingering in the mind about it. What reality are thinking? Yeah, the reality that is for sure ignorance, and it's for sure attachment, and for sure wrong view.
Mitya samadhi. So mitya vitaka, mitya samadhi. So then they are jhana pachya. Yeah. Because the wrong concentration is
burning or killing off the right concentration, and the wrong vitaka is burning the right one. And somanasa, but if it's akusala somanasa, then it's burning kusala somanasa.
So actually, what's meditation? Is it a reality, or what is it?
It is, yes.
What reality is it?
Ignorance, attachment, wrong view.
There must be citta, right?
Citta, yeah.
The chief of experiencing, yes, with cetasikas. But what cetasika? No understanding.
Avijja.
Pardon?
Avijja.
It depends at that moment. Because without understanding, it is avijja. Ignorance is there. When it's not kusala, because not even know citta whether it's calm or not. Taking the pleasant feeling as calmness, with attachment, wanting more, no understanding of whatever appears, which is conditioned from moment to moment, showing anantaness all day, all night, but only through panya, understanding the words about it, about seeing, that is seeing, and what is seeing. It sees now. No meditation, but understanding begins. Who can condition seeing to arise? Without the eye, without the visible object, without cetasika. So it's just a moment which is not self, but it's a conditioned moment. This is right or wrong. Keep on the right track until right understanding develops more and more, understanding better and better about the truth. So the truth is the most important thing, because it can be investigated, it can be considered, it can be known that it's true. Seeing sees, no one sees. That which can see, that which can experience visible object arises just to see, that's all. No more than seeing itself, just see. No other function. Just arise to see, that's all in life, from life to life. Just arise to hear, only there, no one there. Otherwise, one will not understand the Buddha. Who's he? His word must be different from the other's words. Because each word about the truth. Of now, see, the most important thing is that one doesn't have to look for or going away to find something or to do something. It's now unknown. Can we say that Buddha is blinded by our own thinking about him? Actually, his wisdom is much greater than we can expect. So we think, just think that he knows it, or he knows that, but it's blinded. His great understanding is blinded by our own thinking about him. He just talks about Dhamma. See? But what? What is real now? Should it be object of understanding, because it doesn't last as long as we think? In Thai language, when we talk about the virtues of the Buddha, we just help people to understand that how much they cannot understand the wisdom of the Buddha because they just think, not study carefully. Like Buddha is the enlightened one, that's all. But what is enlightenment? Enlightened what? No considering at all. Just bring people to come to know the Buddha. From his words. Can we have the idea of what vitakka is if we haven't heard the teachings of the Buddha at all? Jhanapajjaya, Kammapajjaya.
And even breath, like one says in the meditator's focus on breath, actually it's just thinking about their own idea, one's own idea about what breath is, but actually it's not any understanding of reality at all.
So each word should begin with, what is it? Even breath, what is it? Why breath? What is breath?
Not what the meditator thinks. It is different from the reality, is not self.
And what conditioned,
it's conditioned
breath?
Can only be by citta and...
Just we just say by citta. But breath arises and falls away in split seconds. And what citta? That's not conditioned breath. See? All by conditions. Not knowing about breath, but try to concentrate on breath. What's the use? To know what? Or to enjoy being concentrated on one object? To be peaceful, calm, but actually it's akusala. If Buddha didn't tell us, who knows that it's akusala moment of attachment because of no understanding at all. Thinking about there's nothing at all, no world, right? No world. And this is the meaning of the world, loka, in Pali, that which arises and falls. If nothing arises, no world, for sure. But when just a reality appears, not knowing from where, what condition it, there it is. Our world. So the world is that which arises and falls away all the time, in split seconds, continuously appearing as a whole world, permanent world. Like seeing now is permanent. But how many moments of seeing arising and falling away before there can be the idea or image of that which is left out of the arising and falling away in split seconds. And Panya can experience that because it begins to see, to understand better, deeper, clearer. So Panya knows what moment is led by Panya and what moment is not led by Panya. To the object which appears. So when the Panya leads to the object, it's direct understanding. Because it leads, it's now trying to lead, to understand, seeing right now, from the Buddha's words, little by little. Very gradually, unknown all the time right now. We talk about the processes of citta and citta-sikas, unknown all the time. What appears is only the object which it experiences from moment to moment, the world. So Lokudra, different, not world anymore. In Thai language, they ask, how can the life is suffering? Life is suffering, dukkha. If nothing arises at all, there will never be dukkha. What can be dukkha when nothing arises? But as soon as a reality has arisen, it falls away. That is dukkha. Why? From nothing to something and then nothing again. What's the use in one's life? Eons and eons is just like this. From nothing to be something and then nothing again, completely, never to return at all. Each word should be deeply rooted in order to develop more and more understanding of whatever appears, like seeing is not hearing, is not thinking. No thinking at moment of seeing. No one there. And when there is understanding firmly, Panya begin to lead more and more to understand whatever appears. That is Satyayana, the yana of the truth that has to be just like this. Can anyone change the way it is? Where was yesterday Alberto? And today, even right now, changing all the time until no more at all. One day in this life, no more this life. But each moment is carried on to the next moment. That's why people have different tendencies. All adhammas.
I like the reminders about the khandhas as being dukkha, as being as a disease of because of having to be maintained by conditions and because of being the root of disease, and because they fall away, they can't be a refuge, they're dukkha, and how they're a calamity and affliction, a plague, no protection, no shelter, murderous because of breaking faith, like an enemy posing as a friend. So actually at each moment, each khanda is actually an enemy posing as a friend, and it's really a calamity or disaster because it's dukkha, but because it's followed by the next one and the next one, it seems like a friend, but actually it's not at all.
Very beautiful, meaningful word from the very beginning. Mm. What about the end?
I like the way it ends with the enemy posing as a friend. It's really each moment of seeing, each moment of hearing, even moments of panya, it seems like a friend, but actually it's dukkha. It's, even that is a calamity.
Or dear enemy.
But still, even the most dangerous are the dear enemies. But all are enemies because all are impermanent and all are destructive and a calamity, and very strong language to show how harmful each conditioned reality is in life.
Until Panya learns more and more and more and appreciate each word. see somanasa can arise, understanding the truth, better than be blind.
I think that when there is some appreciation that nothing at all can be done about this moment or next moment, then for me that's a condition for a lot of somanasa, because it's like such so joyful, and because it's such a relief, nothing that needs to be done, no rule at all, nothing to be selected, just living easily with whatever is conditioned now, no matter it's akusala or kusala or whatever it is, it's just by condition, so no use to think about anything else. And and even when I read about khandhas as a disease or a disaster, or it's good to know,
and it will give up the idea of I'll do, I will do. And who can do? Wrong understanding can.
When there's giving up of the idea more and more that I can do, also the idea that anyone else can do, so no matter what occurs, whether it's for us or others, even like for my mother at the end of life, just each citta, each rupa, just depends on conditions at each moment, totally beyond anyone's control at any moment. So it helps a lot to just accept or understand whatever comes in life, because it can't be any other way at any time.
Especially when there's the understanding of actually there's no one at all, only Thātu, the rolling elements from moment to moment.
It's not even me and them, or internal and external, just different Thātus, that's all.
That's the reason for the world to be more peaceful, by understanding.
To see how it is the understanding that leads to courage, because if there's no understanding of just different battles rolling on and one's taking it for this person and that person, then it cannot be the courage to accept whatever comes in life. So it's the panya that leads to courage, and the courage that supports the panya together.
And panya is that which understands only the four or five khandhas can be given up as not self, no one there at all, very temporary moment. So now we understand the vipaka, the patisanti citta, the aramana of the patisanti. What's your last life aramana before death? No one knows.
Understand that it's totally or not known.
Yeah.